Hallelujah. Let us seek stature, not status. Status and stature to exercise dominion, and it takes status and stature to confront the powers of darkness. It takes status and stature to live as the king of this earth. It takes status and stature to assess the deeper things of God. Authority grows. Power doesn't grow. Authority grows. Image grows. When image increases, authority increases, then more power is assessed. Now we have a brand of Christians who have the form but no power. They have confessions but no convictions. They have the status but no stature. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We pray that you open the eyes of our understanding, even as your word of life is coming with great power and might. We pray that we'll be able to catch the drift, your drift, and catch the wave so that our lives will be transformed. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So we see that God created man in his image for the purpose of exercising dominion. Now the reason why God created man, or God had to create man in his image, was that God wanted man to replicate on earth what he was doing in heaven. God was ruling in heaven, and God wanted man to do exactly as he was doing on earth, in heaven on earth. So God had to make man of the same substance that he was made of, so that man could resemble God, and there could be somebody who is just like God on this earth, exercising dominion, while God also exercises dominion in heaven. And this thing is not something that is new. In fact, in the olden days, kings and emperors used to make statues of themselves. And they would place these statues in places where they had their jurisdiction covered. For instance, if the king was ruling over the whole of Ghana, because he is a human being and he cannot be everywhere at the same time, he will make statues. And these statues are supposed to tell you that the one who rules this territory, even though he's not here in person, he's here in the form of this statue. When you go to public offices, you will see the picture of the president of Ghana in those offices. Every public office you go, you will see the picture of the president of Ghana in the office. What that is telling you is that the one who controls affairs here, even though you can't see him, is this man. He's the one in charge. Now, that's exactly what God did in his image, after his likeness, so that man could exercise dominion. It was God's mind to give this earth to man. So, in Psalm 115, verse 16, the Bible says, the heaven, even the heavens, belongs to God, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. So, the earth was created for man, and man was created to exercise dominion on this earth. Psalm 8, verse 2, going, it says that, when I look at the stars, look at the sky, look at the rest of your hand, What is man that you are mindful of, nor the son of man that you visit? And he said, you have made him a little lower than God, and you have made him ruler over all the works of your hand, and you have put under his feet everything you have made. Now, that was David contemplating on the kind of glory that God had bestowed upon man by putting everything under the feet of man. That is dominion. So, God created man for the purposes of exercising dominion. And Jesus Christ said, we should pray in this way, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, dominion is about his will being done on earth as it prevails in heaven. And that is why God will create man in his image. Now, God's formula for dominion is this: image plus authority plus power is equal to dominion. That's God's formula. Image plus authority plus power is equal to dominion. When God wants to exercise dominion, he must first of all get image. Then the image will produce authority. The authority will activate the power. Then dominion will be exercised in that jurisdiction or in that territory. That is God's order. Now, when God said, let us make man in our own image after our likeness in Genesis 1:26, God was initiating a process. Unfortunately, that process was interrupted when Adam sinned. So Adam could not really live out that mandate, because that mandate had different levels of fulfillment. For instance, Adam's dominion was only physical. Man's dominion in the Garden of Eden was not spiritual. He was not given authority over the force of darkness. He was given authority over the physical things. And that is why I'm saying that edit of God was a process. And if Adam had stayed faithful, Adam would have gotten to a point where his dominion would have stretched to include the force of darkness. But his dominion was limited to the physical things of the earth. He said the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, the creeping things, and the beasts of the earth. And he said that is what God gave Adam dominion over. So realize that Adam operated in the similitude of God, possessing the mind of God, and he was operating more from that perspective, that realm. The dominion Adam had over the creation was something like his fear. His fear and his dread was upon the beast. But he realized that it was not a spiritual dominion that God gave him. It was physical. That is why even fallen man after Adam fell, was still able to devise means of exercising dominion over the beast. We made guns and arrows and other things. We made ships to exercise dominion over the sea. Why? Because God gave man wisdom, and that mind of God was what Adam used to exercise dominion. It was the same creative ability of God that Adam used to name the animal. But Adam's dominion didn't stretch to include the devil and his demon, even though they were there at that time. God didn't give him dominion over all those things. So we see Jesus as the last Adam coming, and Jesus comes to complete that mandate. And it comes to show us where Adam would have gotten to if he had not failed. That Adam would have gotten to a point where he will exercise dominion in heaven, on earth, under the earth. But God limited his dominion to the earth and to the physical things, because the image that he carried could not sustain the level of dominion that would transcend the earth and go into the spirit. Because I said that dominion is image plus authority plus power. But Adam's being created in God's image was like this. It is like you and your picture. Your picture is a reflection of you, but your picture doesn't carry your life. Hallelujah. Your statue or your picture is your image, but that picture doesn't carry anything that is in you. Your DNA is not found in your picture. It is just your similitude, your face. People see it and say, oh, this is Pastor Saul. But that picture doesn't carry his DNA. That picture doesn't carry his spirit. That picture only carries his image. And that was the image that God, Adam, was in God's sight. So God created man in his image, But man didn't have the life of God yet. There was a time when God would have given Adam access to the tree of life, or given him to eat the tree of life, and that would have taken man to a different level other than where he was. And that would have given man different image. I mean, a new image, then authority, then power. That is when man would have had dominion into the spirit realm. But as it was, Adam's dominion was physical, and it was just, that's why he named all the animals, you know, he was the one who gave the animals their name. He gave them their identity. That was God's creative ability. But yet still, he didn't have dominion, he couldn't exercise dominion over the works, I mean, the force of darkness. Come to Genesis chapter 9, let me show you something. Genesis 9, when God recreated, or God destroyed everything that he had created, and then they were starting another life. Because God destroyed all humanity and saved only Noah and his family. And so Noah and his family are the ones, the three sons of Noah, they are the ones from which all those living on this earth came. So God was starting more or less a new race or a new life. And look at what he said. Genesis chapter 9, verse 1. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And you see, that's the same blessing he gave to Adam. He's giving the same blessing to Noah and his son. Then he said, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, and on all that move on the earth, and on all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hand. So God again gave man that dominion mandate he gave to Adam, the same thing that he gave to Noah. But it was still limited to the earth. I mean, limited to the physical things. He couldn't transcend into the spiritual because he didn't have the life of God yet. Now, Adam's next level would have been to eat the tree of life. And this would have taken him to a higher notch in his relationship with God. He would have had the very life of God, which the New Testament calls Zoe, which is the eternal life. Adam didn't have that one. He had it in the tree of life, but he never partook of the tree of life. I believe it was because it wasn't time. Because God will have to give man the right to eat of the tree of life. It was only after he fell that man became wise, or became clever, or subtle like the devil, and wanted to take of the tree of life and eat and live perpetually in a sinful state. But God blocked access to the tree of life. Now, Adam's next level would have taken him to a higher form of image. There are two words in the Bible that is translated image. Now, these are big words, but don't worry, they are big words. The first one is a word called homoioma. Homoioma is H-H-O-M-O-I-O-M-A. Homoioma. That is one Greek word for image. The second is icon. Icon is E-I-K-O-N. That's another Greek word for image. Now, the word for image that is used in Adam, as God created man in his own image, that word is homoioma. Homoioma is a resemblance that is not as a result of a shared life. That is a resemblance that is not as a result of life. Somebody can resemble you, but you may not be related by blood. You can see somebody, the person looks like you, but you don't know the person from anywhere. He's not part of your family, but he looks like you. That is homoioma. Somebody and his statue is homoioma. There's no life connection, but there's image connection. The person is just like a statue, but the person doesn't carry the life or the DNA of, I mean, the statue doesn't carry the life or the DNA of the person. But a second word for image is icon. An icon is a word that is used in 2 Corinthians 4:4, which says that if our gospel is hidden, it is hidden from those who are blind, who the God of this world has blinded their mind, lest they should receive the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. That word image is the word icon in the Greek. An icon means a resemblance that is as a result of a shared life. Which means that Christ did not just come as a similitude of God, but Christ came as a very representation of God. The very life of God was in Christ. The very being of God was in Christ. And that is the same image, the same word that is used for us believers in Colossians 3:11, which says that we are being renewed after the image of the one who created us. That word is icon, which means that when we become born again as new creation, we also become like Christ, who are the image of God, not because we are similitude, but because of a shared life, because we carry the very life of God. So the new birth or the new creation is on a higher plane than Adam. People sometimes say Jesus Christ came to take us back to the original position of Adam. No, that is wrong. He did not come to take us to the original position of Adam. He came to take us beyond Adam. He first of all dealt with sin, our sin, so that the sin of man, where Adam's journey was truncated or was stopped. It was sin that stopped it. So he will have to remove that sin so that we can become new creation. But why he didn't just pay for our sins. No, he paid for our sins. Then also he gave us the life of God. That is why when he came, he was like, the thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and destroy him. I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance. He said, I am the water of life, springing into eternal life. I am the bread of life. I am the light of life. I am the resurrection and the life. He was the life. He was the Zoe. The eternal life of God was in Christ. So 1 John 5:11 says that this is a testimony that we have, that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has a Son has life. He who doesn't have a Son does not have life. So Christ is the life of God. So when you embrace Christ, you receive the very life of God. You don't just become a similitude of God. You carry the very life of God. So you are on a higher level than Adam. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So Jesus Christ came to give us a higher level. He came to put us on a higher level. Let me read Hebrews 1, verse 1 to 3. Let me just read it. Hebrews chapter 1. Verse 1 to 3. Some people think that we have just been forgiven of our sins. No, it goes higher than that. It's not just forgiveness of sin. It is a life. It is a life. It is not a change of life. It is an exchange of life. Hebrews 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the Father by the prophet, has in this last day spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who, being the brightness of His glory, and the express image, icon, of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now the word image here is the word icon, which is a resemblance that is as a result of a shared life. It means that Jesus was born. Bible says He proceeded from the bosom of the Father. Adam was called the Son of God, not because he carried God's life, but because he was created by God. So we have created sons and we have born sons. That is what Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot enter. So, from created son to born son. If we're a born son, you carry God's DNA. What makes God God is in you. That's the power of the new creation. What makes God God is in the new creation. The very thing that makes Him God is in the new creation. That's the power. You see, the new creation is so powerful. So powerful. In fact, if you look at the Old Testament and the things that they did, it's because the new creation, we have not been able to identify with what has been done to us. Because even in the Old Testament, people had power over weather, power over voice of nature. People could stop the sun and the moon, could shut the skies from rain from raining. People could multiply bread, could part rivers, because they were walking in the dominion of God the Father. God Himself decided to express His dominion through them. But the new creation, we don't have, just have that. We have the authority and the power and the image. Therefore, if we grow to a level where we embrace what He has done, we will do greater things than they did. And those things will be little. Hallelujah. But let me continue. So, Jesus Christ came with this Zoe, and this Zoe comes with higher levels of image, authority, and power. For instance, when you become born again, you become like Christ. But becoming like Christ is in three stages. We are like Him in the spirit. We are becoming like Him in the soul. Then we shall become like Him in the body. That is why sometimes we don't understand why we are not able to exercise dominion. I will show you why Christians sometimes are under generational curses. Because becoming like Christ is in stages. We are like Him. Come to 1 John 4:17. 1 John 4:17. It says, love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. As He is, so are we in this world. We are like Him. Even as He is, we are like Him. Now, then come to 1 John 3, verse 1 to 3. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, one says, as He is in heaven, so are we on this earth. And one is saying that when we see Him, we shall be like Him. Now, the two are different. The first one that we read in 1 John 4:17 talks about our status, that we are like Christ in the spirit. Then this one talks about what we shall be when Christ appears. Bible says in Philippians 3:20 that Jesus Christ, He said, for our citizenship is in heaven, from where Christ will appear, who will transform our lowly bodies into that of His glorious body. So when we see Him face to face, our bodies will change. Then we will see that we are really, really like Him. But now, we are like Him in the spirit. So even as He is in the spirit, that is how we are. As He is seated with Christ, in heavenly places, we are also seated with Him. As He is seated far above principality, we are also seated far above principality. As God has given Him a name that is above all names, that at the mention of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. We also have access to that name. We operate on that level. So we are also far above all principalities and powers. And everything that is named, we are like Him in the spirit. Now, between these two, we are like Him and we shall be like Him. The next one is in between, we are becoming like Him. We are becoming like Him. Now, we are like Him in the spirit. We shall be like Him in the body. Physically, our bodies will change. Bible says, in a twinkle of an eye, He said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a twinkle of an eye, at the blast of the trumpet, He said, we shall be changed. Then He said, corruption will take on incorruption. Death will be swallowed up by life. So this body will change. And this body will be like Jesus' body after He resurrected from the dead. But in between, we are becoming like Him by the renewing of our mind. So three things. We are like Him. we are becoming like him, and then we shall be like him. If we confuse these three things, it will affect our knowledge in most of the things in scripture. We will misapply the scripture, because there are certain scriptures that are talking about who we are in him, others telling us to be like him, others giving us hope that we shall be like him. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who for the who though he was equal with God, did not see it a thing to be grasped, but made himself of no reputation, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to death, death on the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above all names, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things on earth, of things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He said, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. That is becoming like him. That is the middle portion, becoming like him. We are like him, but we must also grow to become like him. Being like him is status. Becoming like him is stature. When we shall become like him too, that one is the final stage. So, when you are born again, you have status. But you need stature. Then the final state will come when he appears. Hallelujah. I said, we are like him already. That is status. Then becoming like him is stature. Then when we shall be like him, that is state, final state. Sometimes, we only measure on the status and we leave out the stature. That is why the word doesn't become flesh. That is why we can say, I will not die, but will die. That is why we can say, I will not be sick, and yet we fall sick. That is why we say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and yet we sin. Because we have status, but no stature. Status and stature are two different things. We are like him. No matter your state, or no matter what you do, you are like him. But then you grow to be like him. Bible says, growing up into him, who is the head of all things. Ephesians 4:15. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, status will give you the gift of righteousness. A status. It will give you the gift of righteousness. That you are like him. You are in right standing with him. Even as he is in heaven, you are also like him on earth. You are a son as Christ is a son. You have access to all that is of God. God sees you as Christ. He sees you as the image of Christ, just like he sees Christ. God doesn't hold anything against you. God sees you as righteous and truly holy. That is status. But that alone cannot take dominion over the forces of darkness. That alone cannot make you exercise dominion on this earth. That alone will not bring the kingdom down. That alone will not bring the glory. That is status. But it takes status and stature to exercise dominion. And it takes status and stature to confront the powers of darkness. It takes status and stature to live as a king on this earth. It takes status and stature to assess the deeper things of God. It takes status and stature. Bible says, the heir, for as long as he remains a child, he differeth not from a slave, though he be master of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the father. So the heir, even though he has status as a heir, as a king, he cannot exercise the kingship or the kingdom till he grows. That is where status comes in. So status will make you the heir, heir of all things, but stature will help you to assess them. Hallelujah. So we are like him. We shall be like him. But we are growing to become like him now. And that is the process. That is where the process is. That is what will transition us from status to stature. The devil doesn't fear status. I'm telling you, he doesn't fear status. So I know who I am. Look, I am the, I am what in Christ. He doesn't fear those things. He will check your stature. He, how much of Christ does he see in you? He will check that one. Satan will not go by your confession. That is why you see, positive confession is good. But we have not gone beyond positive confession. Positive confession, by confessing what is in the word, that is status. For it to reflect in your life is danger. We have always sought the form and denied the power. So now we have a brand of Christians who have the form but no power. They have confessions but no convictions. They have the status but no stature. The devil doesn't fear those ones. They don't rock the kingdom of darkness. But I'm talking about a time where a point you will get to where your mere presence is a threat to the devil. Your mere presence, he's fighting by your mere presence. When he gets up and he says that you are still alive, he gets nervous. That is danger. I'm talking about a point where you get to where you say, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? Status alone cannot take you to that level. That is why I said there are two levels in Christianity. Level of grace, level of glory. He said the Lord is a sign and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. We have lived at the realm of grace for far too long and we are not growing. We need the two. Grace is status. But glory is stature. It takes stature to assess glory. You see, God is not really thinking about you getting saved and your sins are forgiven. That's not his real thing is you exercising dominion. It's you representing him. That is what he thinks about. Not you, you know, like your sins have been forgiven. Those things are just given to you. But how are you able to take that family for God? You know, exercise dominion over that area. Bring the kingdom down in that section of society. That is what God is looking for. Believers who can be believers in status and stature, they will always be a step or two ahead of those who are only in status but not in stature. So the image will bring the authority, and the authority will give you the right to use the power. You see, status, when you become born again, every power that you need to live on this earth is given to you. The dead old child in Christ is as powerful as the 40-year-old man in Christ. The power is the same. The power doesn't increase. The power of God, it doesn't increase. It is fixed. He is all power. When you become born again, the Holy Spirit that comes to live in you, he is all power. But authority grows. Power doesn't grow. Authority grows. Image grows. When image increases, authority increases, then more power is assessed. Because authority is the right to execute power. The more you grow, the greater your rights are. And so the greater the release of power. It doesn't mean the power increases. The power is there. But how much of the power will be at work or will be released? It is determined by the authority you carry. And your authority is dependent on the image. That is how generational curses are broken. You don't break generational curses by saying, I'm the head, not the tail. I am the head, not the tail. The Bible says, I am what? I am more than a conqueror. Somebody said, I'm more than concrete. I'm more than concrete. I'm more than a conqueror. Those things do not break the national curses. The curses are broken when the stature is developed. When there's something backing what you are saying, it's not just about blabbing and grabbing. We have reduced confessing to blab and grab. To blab means just to say and get. It's not like that. You don't get by saying. No. What you are saying is backed by something deeper. That is stature. The Bible says in Isaiah 10:27, it said, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the oil. because of the fat. Let me give you the scenario. It's like this. You place a yoke on a cow, and a time comes, the cow's neck becomes so fat that the yoke cannot go. And he said, because of the fatness, the original word is fatness or ointment. Because of the fatness, the yoke is destroyed. Because the yoke cannot fit, because the cow's neck has become big and big. That is how generational curses are broken. When you are conforming to the image of Christ, it gets to a point where the yoke is broken off your neck. Because your neck is fat. That one is stature, not status. So you can just go scripture and say, I'm delivered from all curses. And Christ has been made a curse for me. Therefore, there is no curse. I'm delivered from all curses. But you will still be under a curse because you are in status but no stature. When the image grows, that is stature. How do we get a stature? He says, but you all with unveiled faces, beholding him as in the mirror, the glory of God, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Now, the word of God is the mirror. When you look into the mirror, you know what you see. You see Jesus. That is your image. As you continue to look, you are being transformed into the same image. Then the stature is being formed. When it is formed, it releases authority. And that produces the power. That is why there are some people, they will tell you, I never went for deliverance, but as I persisted in Christ, and as I lived in Christ, and I grew in Christ, this thing fell off me. They will tell you, the generational curse, as the person progressed in Christ, and the person grew in the word, and he went deeper and focused on Christ, that thing was broken. Because deliverance can set you free, but will not make you free. Prayer can set you free, but it said you shall know the truth, and the truth you know shall make you free. To be made free is knowing the truth. To be set free, you can use prayer to set some people free. People need to be set free, and we set them free with prayer. But they can only be made free when they grow, and their neck become fat, and the yoke cannot fit anymore. That is how God knocks off generational curses over families, over nations, over. Do you know why this city is going to experience revival? Because over the years, people have conformed to God's standards. God has found people, and he has conformed them to their standard. They have obeyed the progressive revelation of God's will over the years, and has gotten to a point where the obedience is complete. And he said, having readiness to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So the time comes where iniquity is like this. God wants to knock out iniquity. God cannot touch iniquity unless it is full. He told Abraham, he said, I've given you the land, but it will be 400 years before your descendants will say, because now the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Because God is a just God. So the iniquity must be full. Now, before the iniquity gets full, God will get somebody. And the person will now conform to God's process and God's dictates. As the person follows God's progressive revelation of his will, he gets to a point where his obedience and iniquity, they are at par. It's fulfilled. Then God will stand on the obedience that is fulfilled and knock out the iniquity. That case over a family. That is why it takes you alone to be saved and delivered, but it takes process for the whole family to be delivered. Hallelujah. And so that's how we break generational curses. Because the yoke grows. Look at Abraham. When God met Abraham, Abraham came from a background of idol worship. And his fathers were idol worshippers. But God met Abraham, and God took Abraham out of his father's house. And God began to give Abraham his commands and his dictates. And Abraham walked with God according to God's dictates. Then it got to a point, God realized that Abraham's obedience was complete. That was when that curse in the family was broken. Because there was a curse of barrenness in the family. You remember in Genesis 22, when Abraham offered Isaac, and God was pleased. Bible says, and it came to pass that Abraham's brother also gave birth. His brother was also barren. But when he walked with God, and it got to a point where the obedience was complete, Bible says, God knocked out that principality that was inflicting that curse on the family. Why? Because when your obedience is complete, then you can punish all disobedience. Hallelujah. Let us seek stature, not status. You see, the word of God is able to do three things. It's able to build. Acts 20 verse 32, it said, brethren, I commend you to the Lord and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. It's able to build. Number two, the word is able to save. James 1:21, he said, laying aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So the word is able to save. The last one is able to make. Paul told Timothy, he said, but thou from childhood hast known the holy scriptures, which is able to make you wise unto salvation by faith in Jesus' name. So the only way to seek stature is through the word. When the word of God, when you think you sink your roots in the word, you are developing stature, because the word is the mirror. It's the mirror you look into, and as you behold him in the mirror, you are being transformed into what you see. It will get to a point when you look into the word, you will see yourself. That is when you have attained stature. Because Bible says we should grow into him till we come to the full measure of the stature of Christ. Hallelujah. So as you begin to delve into the word, then you move from knowledge to revelation, then that leads to transformation. That is where stature is developed. So these days, many believers are status-minded but not stature-minded. That is why we have many Christians who are 1 mile long, 1 inch deep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said many people are like 1 mile long, 1 inch deep. We just take the surface and we run with it. But we don't take the pains to go through process and to go to allow the word to shape us. That only takes place in the secret place. We always are interested in the glory and the we hide the status. But you see, status without stature, it will lead to a fall. So we hide the status. And we think because we have the status, we have the glory. No, we need the stature to attain the glory. And that comes through the word. It comes through the word. The word itself has mechanisms in place to develop stature in us. So go for the word. Abide in the word. Respect the word. Study the word, read the word, meditate on the word, do the word. As you do that, you are building stature. It's not anointing, it's the word. The devil is not afraid of anointing, I'm telling you. The anointing that doesn't scare the devil. He's afraid of stature. When he sees one person who is like Christ, he's fighting. The anointing will destroy his works, yes. But you see, God wants to raise sons. Sons who are kings, who are princes. So that we can fully represent him on this earth. So that for as long as we are there, the devil cannot be there. And that is why it takes God time to raise his sons. Because God will give you the status, then he will take you through the process to acquire the stature. Then the status and the stature will release you as a son. Hallelujah. And the stature is always acquired in the secret place. In the secret place. That is where the stature is acquired. Do you know something? God will always push you into the secret place. Anytime God wants to take you to a higher level, God will drive you to a secret place. Why? Because that is where the stature is acquired. God gives birth to sons in darkness, in a secret place. That is what produces sons. That is why when God is lifting you from childhood to sonship, God takes you through the wilderness sometimes. So that he can build the image into you. The reason why he took the people right through the wilderness was to build his image into them. In the wilderness, he taught them how to know him. He taught them how to relate with him. He gave them the law. They built the tabernacle in the wilderness. And God taught them intimacy in the wilderness. Then after that, then he led them to the promised land. So when they got to the promised land, they had the image. They had the authority. And power was released. There was a work that God had done on their inside. Over the years. Even though some of them couldn't attain, they were killed. But those who were able to make it to the promised land, they were people that God had taken through process and got into a point where now the image was fully formed in them. Because God knows that it is only the image that can knock off the works of the devil. It is only the image that can also be a positive reference point for God to launch an attack on the works of the devil. Anytime people were doing things, God will look for one man, one person, or some group of people, and God will begin to lure them and give them his dictates. When they are faithful, God will raise them and use them to destroy what Satan has built. The whole world was running after buildings, and in Genesis 4, Bible says Enoch, the son of Cain, was the first man to build, and he built outside the presence of God. And there was a civilization that was started by that building. Man started building outside the presence of God. What did God do? God found Noah, and God asked Noah to build an ark. And Noah took so many years to build an ark. And Noah was obeying God moment by moment, and God's altar was being built, was being raised. Then it got to a point when the altar was fulfilled, when the obedience was complete, then God stood on that platform and knocked away what the devil had built. So that all the civilization was swept by the flood. After some time, the world, sons of Noah, forgot about God, started building the Tower of Babel, Genesis 11. What did God do? God found Abraham, and God said, come. I want to use you, and I want to use you as a platform to knock down what Satan is building. Satan is building towers and all that. Something was starting in the spirit realm. But Abraham came, and God took Abraham through a process for some years. So Abraham also got to a point where God used him to build something that will stand face to face, shoulder to shoulder with what had been established in the spirit by Babel. Even though the tower was knocked down by God physically, spiritually, Babel was a spirit. We see Babel in Revelation as Mystery Babylon the Great. If the tower was destroyed, how can we see him in Revelation? It was destroyed physically, but what the tower stood for was still there. And God wanted to use Abraham to raise something to counter it. And bring it down spiritually. That is why God said, Abraham, come. Then Abraham came. And God worked with Abraham. Took him through process. So he got to a point where he was able to raise a platform of righteousness. And Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him as righteousness. It got to a place where God was able to raise that platform of righteousness, fulfilling all righteousness. Then God said, now I can stand on this platform. I will release my son. Then my son will build something that will also stand against Babylon. So Christ came out of Abraham and Christ established the church. So in the book of Revelation, we have two cities. The New Jerusalem and then Babylon. One comes from above, one is built on earth. He said, the New Jerusalem comes from above. Babylon was on earth. What happened? Babylon the great was destroyed. What started in Abraham ended in the New Jerusalem. That was the city that God said Abraham was looking for. He said, for he looked to the he looked to a country which had a builder, whose architect and builder was God. That was the New Jerusalem. In the spirit, that was the one that knocked off Babylon the Great. That is how generational curses are broken. It is when the anointing, the neck becomes fat, the yoke cannot fit. Then God will stand on that platform of righteousness and do away with the curse. Seek stature, not only status. Seek stature, not status. Now, let me end with this. When we talk about image, we are talking about three things. We are talking about prototype. We are talking about representation. And then we are talking about manifestation. Prototype, representation, and manifestation. Now, prototype is the image. It's a likeness. It is when his image is fully formed in you. When his character is developed in you. You see, becoming like Christ, it's not something that happens to us. It is something that God does in us, takes us through, conforms in us. God conforms us to the image of Christ. He conforms us to the image of Christ. How does he do that? He does that through the word. He does that through circumstances. Sometimes he does that through tribulation. To conform you to the image of Christ. And when the image is fully developed and you are conformed, then you can represent him. That is what we call an ambassador of Christ. When the Bible says we are Christ's ambassador, it wasn't referred to every believer. In fact, Paul was talking about himself, that he was an ambassador of Christ. Not every believer is an ambassador of Christ, because not every believer is representing Christ. Ambassadors are trusted emissaries who are sent to represent their home countries on a foreign land. They are people of higher rank, and you get that by developing stature. Represent Christ. You get to a point where you are Christ to people. You make Christ wear a human face. You are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. That is representation. So he's representing us before God in heaven. We are representing him on this earth. Hallelujah. So when the image is formed, when the prototype is achieved, then representation too comes in. Then we are representing him. We are in charge of his affairs. We become stewards of the mysteries of God. Then manifestation. Manifestation is what the creation is waiting for. The whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons. Why? Because when the image is fully formed, you represent him, then you manifest. You manifest the son. That is when creation will be restored. Because creation came out of joy when Adam sinned. Anytime Christian sees a son, Christian rejoices. They are eagerly waiting for sons to manifest. But sons don't manifest until the image is formed. And when the image is formed, the authority is given, that representation represents him. And that is how the power too is released. I'm not talking about anointing or gifts. I'm talking about power. We have reduced power to take it. Young man, take it, take it. He said, take what? We have reduced power. But I'm talking about power that is, that you come with the presence. I'm talking about power that is, you step in a place and the whole atmosphere changes. Power that is, you release a word and the word is registered in the spirit and it controls the environment. We are not talking about take it and you are falling down. That is not power. That, in fact, that is power, but that is not the power that I'm talking about. I'm talking about power that has exercised dominion. We are not going after those things. Those things are small boy stuff. I'm telling you, those things, they are small boy stuff. It's something for the boys. But it's good. Take it, then you are down. It's something for the, I'm telling you. I'm talking of power where you stand and declare a thing. And it is established. You stand and you release a word. And all the force of darkness, they back off. That is power. That is power. That is power. See, we must test, we must have a test for genuine power. Genuine power. I'm talking about the power that can change a drug addict and transform a drug addict. That can take somebody who is an acoustic person and transform him. Take a prostitute and transform. That is where the power is. I'm talking about preaching that can affect people, preaching that can transform drug addicts, and they'll be instantly delivered and saved. Not preaching that will excite people. What the church now we lack is stature. We have status all around, little stature. You see people preaching and shouting and sweating. But we long for those days when Peter will preach one sermon and people will rush to the platform and say, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" That is what I'm looking for. I'm not looking for preaching like that will just, you know, you are the head, not the tail, that people will be excited and charged up. I'm looking for preaching that will convert people. Preaching that will convict people and that will make them run and give their life to Christ. Peter got to that point where even when he was speaking, the Holy Ghost was full of people. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost came on them. That is power. That is power. We don't know what we have missed. We have reduced Christianity. We have reduced it. Now we are swimming in class one syllabus. We are becoming local champions. Class one syllabus. I'm going to say, oh, we are in the era of grace. We are in the era of grace. I'm the righteous of God. And we just say these things. Do you know what righteousness is? When God begins to put you on the path of righteousness, you will not even be, I mean, it is more than a gift. He gives you the gift and status when he puts you on the path of righteousness. Not many people can even walk on that path. He leads me on the path of righteousness. That is what the devil fears, because the devil knows that when God leads you on the path of righteousness, God will lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. And then next thing that, he will set the table before you in his presence. In Satan's presence. That is when Satan loses you. He loses you when the Lord takes you on the path of righteousness, conforming you to his image. Then he takes you through the valley of the shadow of death. Now you are dead. What can you do to a dead man? That is what Satan fears you, because he knows that now you can handle prosperity. Now you can handle glory. Now you can handle exaltation. You can handle promotion. But there are some people, Satan knows, look, you are only the status. Look, I'm just waiting for you to be promoted small. I will just knock you off. Because you have status, you don't have stature. You have not been through the valley of the shadow of death. You are not dead. So a little promotion, the price sets in. A little exaltation, then the devil will just knock you up. He doesn't fear. He fears people who God has put on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. That takes place in a secret place. When God puts you in darkness and God says, impress me. God says, I'm your only audience. Impress me. He said, when you are praying, enter. Don't be like hypocrites who stand in pretense for men to see. He said, but you go to your closet and your father who sits in secret. That is where it is, the stature is developed. Where God is training you to impress him, not man. When you get to a point where nothing can impress you. Jesus Christ was at that point. Praises cannot affect him. Criticism cannot. Because you see, if people can affect you with their praise, they can affect you with their criticism. So Jesus had gotten to a point where praise will not affect him. Criticism will not affect him. Nothing. He was dead. It is when you are dead, that is where you can have the double portion. When you cross Jordan, that is where you can say, ask me what you want and I'll give it to you. If God comes to you and God tells you, ask me anything you want, it means you are dead. It means that you are a dead man. And God knows you will ask for the right things. He said, Solomon, you didn't ask for riches or the life of your enemies, but you have asked for this thing. Because of that, I will bless you. Because if you have this thing, you can handle riches. Look at what is happening in the church now. Look at many people that God blessed with money. Look at how they have lost their anointing. They've lost. Just 2 days ago, and I was speaking to me and was telling me that, look, there are many people who were promising stars, but they lost their anointing. Now they are just following me with experience. No anointing. Sometimes we hail things that God despises. On that same day, somebody showed me Ben Hinn's dream that he had. He said he went to heaven and the Lord said that he had lost it. Recently, this year, after he fell sick and he came back, he said the Lord said that he had missed him. And he said for a period of 2-3 years, he was only displaying the anointing, but there was nothing in him. He said it, I read it. He said for 2-3 years, he said after the divorce and around that time, he said there was nothing between him and God. No intimacy. He was only displaying the anointing. And God is gracious enough to give the anointing and supply the anointing. But he said if he had died at that time, he doesn't know, because he would have lost his reward. Because he said that there was nothing, just the anointing. And the Lord was telling me that, he said, you can be a shooting star. I was telling God, I said, look, this process is not easy. And God said, it depends on what you want. If you want just a local ministry, that is it. But if you are looking at something that will make an impact on this world, you have to go through what Elisha went through. You have to go through process. And let me develop my image in you. My stature in you. Otherwise, if the stature is not developed, God can give you money, but the money will destroy you. God can give you a platform, but the platform... There are many ministers of God who cannot handle money, handle glory, handle exaltation. Why? Because stature was not built. Because they left while the thing was on fire, they left. But God says, Ephraim is like a cake on ten. Ephraim is like a cake that is not been ten. It's like plantain that has not been turned. So it lies on one side and it gets bent. We must surrender our lives into God's hand and tell God, take me through every crucible. Take me through any process. Anywhere you will get me to, for the image to be confirmed in me, take me through whatever it is. Just live your life in God's hand and say, Lord, my life is yours. I want to get to the end. Take me through. Whatever it will take, just take me through. Unless he takes you through, he will not set the truth before you. And you cannot say, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. That comes after he has taken you through the valley of the shadow of death. That's why you can say, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me. It is not just something that we talk. It is something that we go through. It's a process. Hallelujah. Let's be on our feet. Libra handos. Let's begin to pray and ask God, take my life. Let it be consecrated to you. Take my moments and days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my life. Take me through the process. Take me to the closet. Take me to the secret place where I will learn to minister to you. I will learn to please you only. Where I will learn that you are my only audience. He said, Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. Walk before me, not before men. Walk before me. Impress me first. Feed me first. When I'm satisfied, then I will feed you. Libra handos, mandolobo kotahata. Libra handaya kalogusi. Libra handos, mandiriandara. Losa kataha, komayanda. Libro dosi, mandiri kosu. Libra handaya, mandolobo kosi. Kamayandere behasu. Lobra handaya, londe handaha. Losibra handaha, kosikaha. Conform us, O God. Conform us to your image. Conform us to your image, that we may develop stature, O God, that we may grow to him who is the head, even into Christ, and develop stature, and come to the full measure of the stature of Christ, that we shall be like him, we shall represent him, O God, that we shall manifest for creation to be released. Kamaya nala hasutaha, lo braha durihanda, o sikahata, mantorobakoskitaha, libro totohasa. Lord Shikaha, shape us, O God. Shape us, O God. Prune us, O God. Chisel us, O God. Hammer us, O God. Anything, O God. Anything to bear the image. Anything to produce an image in us. Anything to conform us to the image, O God. Anything, O God. Press us, O God. Shape us, O God. Prune us, O God. Chisel us, O God. Kaumahatalaha. Toshitahata. Libro Tolosi. Let God do a deeper work in us. Let God do a deeper work in our lives. Let God do a deeper work in our lives. Let God begin to write his law on the tablet of our hearts. Let God inscribe his nature on our hearts. Let God cut himself into us. Make a mark, leave a mark, leave a scar on our hearts, O God. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We are praying this prayer. We are asking God, give me endurance not to abandon the process. There are some people who abandon the process just when it's about to hit the glory. Just at the tail end, they give up. Imagine if Jesus had given up in Gethsemane. Give me endurance, the ability to stay true to the end. For it is not the starters who be rewarded, but the finishers. He that endures to the end shall be saved. Let's begin to pray. Give us endurance, O God. Give us endurance, O God. Give us endurance that will not turn aside from following you. That will not turn aside from following you, O God. Will not turn aside. Will not be impressed. Will not be distracted by man. Will not be distracted by men, O God. Will not turn aside. Will not listen to what people are saying. But we will look for it, O God. Look to you. Look to the reward. Despite the shame. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Despising the shame. That will endure the cross for the sake of the crown. And despite the shame for the sake of the glory. Libra hatala. Lo shikahanda. Libra losi. Bandianeska. Lo brahandubahanda. Ikologoskiha. Ripalaya losi. Mande. Give us patience, O God, to wait for you, O God, to wait for you till the end, to wait till the end. Not like Abraham, who went for Ishmael, who not go for Ishmael, who stayed till our Isaac come, who stayed true and committed and faithful to our Isaac, show forth. Pariandere Bahandos, me the Roboko Shikaham, Mandereres, Mandarabalabakoski, Li Prolosi, Balo Protokoska, Falia Pahaka, I Polokosi, I Kayaka, Mantolopohosi, I Palongaska, Rabusihe, Falu Pahadike, Li Kolotaha, Palia Tahada, Lo Pahadikata, Li Tologosi Heke, Vikayaka, Mayanderobokosia, Lo Pranikoskiha. Have mercy, O God. 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 That will stay to the end. That will stay to the end. For the vision for the appointed time. At the end, it shall speak. It shall not lie. At the end, though it tarries, wait for it. It shall surely speak and not lie. At the end. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Lord is saying that if you are afraid to be called barren, you will rush ahead of God and produce Ishmael. But God is saying, if you are patient and you can endure, and you will not be distracted by what men are saying, the names people are calling you, people are calling you barren. Barren Abraham, you can't produce. And so you are disturbed. People are saying, what do you have to show for? All the years of commitment, what has God done for you? What do you have to show that your God is alive all these years? And God is saying that don't be afraid. Don't be like Abraham, who went for Ishmael because of what was saying. But stay for your Isaac, for the time is coming. And the vision is an appointed time. At the appointed time, it shall speak. If you will not stand aside for following God, and you will not rush ahead of God, but you will stay put. God is saying he's going to release your Isaac. And at an appointed time, your Isaac will come. Then he will bring you to a place of fulfillment. A place of fulfillment. A place of joy. Joy which no one can take away from you. A place prepared for you, which nobody can move you away from. A platform, a donkey no one has ever sat upon. God has prepared all those things. But only I wish not to turn aside for following God. Hallelujah. We are praying this last prayer. We are praying for Ghana. We are declaring into the atmosphere. Ghana will not die. Ghana will live. Revival is about to break forth in this nation. God is going to do something great in this city, which will affect the entire world. Ghana is in the calendar of God. Very, very soon, all eyes will see the glory that God will release upon this nation. And all eyes will see the mercy of God upon this city. For even the heavens are open. Heavens are open over this city. And there are many angels that have trooped in, taking position, taking cover. The Lord said that he's protecting the harvest. He said he's building a fence around the harvest. The angel of harvest has been released. And God is going to reap a lot of harvest through us. The time for the saints to take over is now. The time for the saints to be favored is now. The set time for the saints to be favored is now. And not many days from now, God is going to show you, he's going to show us his countenance, his favor, his power, his deliverance, his mercy that will come upon this city and this nation. We are praying for Ghana. Have mercy on this nation, O God. Every plan of God for this year, for Ghana, let not even one of them fail. Let all come to pass. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We declare Ghana will not die. Ghana will live. This country will not die. This country will live. Ghana will prosper. Ghana will prosper. Ghana has entered into seasons of prosperity. Seasons of fruitfulness. The devil's agenda concerning Ghana has been frustrated. Has been laid aside. In the name of Jesus. The strong man of the devil, the strong man of Satan over Ghana has been arrested. Let a strong man of God over Ghana arise in the name of Jesus. Let a strong man be strong and arise in the name of Jesus. Ibrahim Torosi, Mandorobo Kosiam, Ipahana, Who says that we could retire in Ghana? Who says Boko Haram will come to Ghana? Who said that? Who said that we could retire? Who said violence will engulf this nation? Who said that? Who has commanded the thing and come to pass if God has not said it? Peace on our land. Peace on our land. Prosperity on our land. Fruitfulness on our land. Let the church arise and be strong. For the time to build is now. The time to build is now. The time to detect things is now. The destiny of this nation is not in the hands of politicians. It's in our hands. And we have the right to decree that this nation will live. For God has an apostolic mission for Ghana. Ghana is God's purpose. Ghana is God's people to the world. And the plan of the devil concerning this nation has failed. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise.